Everybody's going to face conflicts in their marriage. It may be about parenting or other things, but everyone's going to face conflicts. I don't know why it surprises us, but what ought to surprise us is when we deal with them in unhealthy ways. Why are we doing that? Conflicts can help us, but we've got to handle them properly.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. Conflict is inevitable, but I think at least for most women, we just, well, some of us are fighters, but a lot of us also don't like it at all. I don't like any conflict. To me, fighting is not fun, but I know, you know, conflict does come up, and I've noticed there are even different levels. When you're first married, you have a certain kind of conflict because you're putting two lives together, and then as years go by, you sort of morph into a different kind of conflict and fighting with different habits
and stuff.
Your marriage
morphs. Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
Well, it does.
I don't think anybody should like conflict. There probably are those people that like conflict. I think all of us would like to live in that field of lilies where everything's, or whatever plant.
Where everything daisies, goes my way.
Everything.
Is what it is.
Oh, but if you want to live in a world where everything goes your way and I want to live in a world where everything goes my way, what happens
to life.
When those, yes, those highways don't go both ways?
Right.
And
right.
We've got to figure out how to deal with it. Again, and we said this yesterday, I think one of the problems is people think conflict is bad. They don't see conflict, anything good coming from conflict, but conflict shows a difference of opinion. And I know that there are people that have been told, you know, your Uncle Ed and Aunt whatever were married for 40 years and they never had a conflict. They weren't married. I don't know what they were. One of them was dead and the other one was dragging him around.
Right.
It's just not natural. I have conflicts with me.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting at a table today at lunch and I ordered exactly the right meal. And Matt Annett sitting next to me ordered a sandwich with French fries. I shouldn't be eating those French fries. And we were dying laughing and he ordered the French fries on purpose. And there's a conflict going on there. And there's this inner conflict with me. Shouldn't eat those French fries.
I want those French fries.
Well, all of a sudden he finishes and he leaves three French fries knowing. And I just reach across him and grab those three French fries off his plate. And we all die laughing at the table. There's several of us. And it was this inner conflict where, okay, three, I justify three, but I know I shouldn't eat these French fries. I think we're going to have conflict. We need to acknowledge we're going to have conflict. And then we need to decide, okay, I want to be slow to speak and slow to get angry and quick to listen. And part of that listening is not just to this other person. Part of that listening is to what's going on inside this other person.
Right.
And part of that listening is, Lord, what am I supposed to hear in this as we deal with it? But we're so unhealthy in the way we deal with conflicts.
Do you think it's because we're so selfish? I mean, we're, you know, we serve people at work all the time, even our extended family. But when it comes to our spouse, we are quick with the tongue, short-tempered, and we know we have to make it work, but we just don't put our best face sometimes.
I think you said so much in the sentence is unbelievable.
Uh-oh.
No, I think we are selfish. I think let's just face it, we're selfish. And it takes a long time. It takes a lot of years to actually do what Jesus told us to do and wash each other's feet. It takes a long time to love my neighbor as myself. It takes a long time for me as a husband to love my wife as much as Christ loved the church and gave himself up completely. Number one. Number two, you and I are both in ministry, and in ministry, you have to be nice all day.
Yeah.
And it's easy for you. It's exhausting for me to be nice all day. And I have to have the right answers for people and walk through the lobby here at Sheridan House. And somebody came in today and had this unfixable problem. And when we couldn't fix the problem and pay all their bills for the rest of their lives, they were furious with us.
Right.
And I don't want to send them out beaten up. I wanted to send them out okay. And though you didn't get what you want from us, I don't want to be beating this woman down any further. But you get home and you're just tired, and you get home and that's when the other conflicts, the washer's broken. This isn't working. That isn't working. This is happening. And some of the things that I kind of thought we were both on the same page on, we're not anymore. And so you get to a point, I think there's an exhaustion that kicks in because we have unrealistic expectations that we can control all these things, and we can't. And so all of a sudden you just lose it, or it's, I don't have any energy left in this, and the bills are coming, whatever it is. And so what we tend to do, I think, is we say, I don't want to deal with conflict anymore. And so if I don't want to deal with it, I deal with it either in unhealthy ways. We're going to talk later on this week about the various different kind of animals we become as we deal with conflict, but we just miss the opportunity to become a team.
But why? Why is it so? Okay, you say conflict is good, but then it can be unhealthy. Explain that.
Well, there are different ways that conflicts become unhealthy. And I think one of them is when they're ignored. When a conflict conflict is ignored, when we act like there's no, whatever you want, we actually think that verse says, blessed are the peacekeepers. And it's not. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. And that passage really means those willing to wage peace, willing to do what it takes to wage peace. Okay, let's stop right now. I know things aren't going so well right now. I know we have a huge disagreement. And maybe one of us is, probably me, too upset to talk about this right now. But we do have to take a deep breath and find some time to talk about this in a way as if, let's decide there's 200 people sitting here watching us deal with this. And, you know, for me, actually, it's sometimes better to go sit in a restaurant in public on a heated whatever.
Just in case flying fists.
Yeah, I don't want to throw a fork. Yeah. And so I think that one of the things that happens is if we ignore them, if we act like it's not a conflict, it just builds up steam till it's not about the issue anymore. It's the two neighbors at the homeowners association who are building fences between each other, can't stand each other anymore. And somebody mm-hmm. asks, how did this start? You know, I don't really know. It mm-hmm. just has gotten huge. So we can't ignore these issues.
But I, you know, the other side of the coin is that I've also learned there's a price to peace. There's sometimes there are some things that you can have conflict about, but you have to choose just to let it go because either maybe it's not important enough, even though you think it's somewhat important, but your marriage is bigger and you have to keep peace in the house too. So is that what you're talking about? Because that's kind of what I was taught.
No, I kind of think there are times when that happens and I've hurt your feelings. And if I've hurt your feelings, I've hurt Rosemary's feelings in this process and she doesn't want to talk about it, but then I hurt her feelings because I don't know or I'm just bullying my way in. And then all of a sudden it just builds and builds and builds. And you've seen those ladies where their eyes are hollow. There's nothing left anymore. There's no marriage.
Because they've swallowed so much or they've let so much go by.
For so long, they have been second class and for so long. And you reach a point where you're enabling someone else to be a bully or you're enabling someone else to be immature or you're enabling. So you know what? We end every day sitting on our deck talking. And, you know, you hurt my feelings with that text, Jill. I didn't mean it like that. I'll call next time. I didn't mean it like that. Well, exactly what did you mean? And, you know, it's like, oh, you know what? I really don't want to be doing this right now, but I will. Let me try to explain. So that's what you meant. That hurts my feelings also. Okay, explain that to me. Explain that to me.
Okay.
And I think I don't want to settle for a mediocre marriage. Mm-hmm. I want a great marriage. You cannot ignore conflict. It's got to be dealt with. But it doesn't have to be dealt with immediately. And you're right. There are some little things. You know, I forgot to take the garbage out. So she takes the garbage out and doesn't mention it.
Right.
You know, that you forgot. There are the little insignificant things. But there are the things that there was a great YouTube thing going out before Mother's Day. And it was a 2-minute thing of this little wife about your age. And she had gloves on and she had a mask on and she was in the bathroom and you saw she was cleaning the toilet and she was cleaning the toilet vigorously.
Oh my goodness.
And you don't realize till the end when she comes up from cleaning the toilet, she's using his toothbrush to clean the toilet.
No!
And she puts it back in this little holder and she takes off her gloves and her mask and it ends with, do not miss another Mother's Day for your wife. Yes. And you kind of saw in that she's not dealing with it. She's not saying it. And the reason everybody sent it to me because they heard about my first Mother's Day with Rosemary that I totally blew that first Mother's Day. And I got up early Mother's Day morning and realized I'm supposed to get a card and got to the...
Because now there's a baby in the house, so she's a mom.
That's right. After 9 years of marriage. And I raced to the store that Sunday early and get to this all-night store. No more Mother's Day cards. There's nothing there. So I buy her a bar mitzvah card thinking it's funny and cross it out and give it to her and she bursts into tears.
Oh.
So, yes. So we're at lunch that day and I say, you know, I totally blew Mother's Day. I can give you all the excuses. And she said, do not use the excuse that you didn't have a mom. I don't want to hear that excuse.
Wow.
Yeah, she was upset and tears in her eyes. And I said, this is so unromantic for you. Orchestrate for me a perfect Mother's Day so I can do better next year. And she said, I don't want to do this. And I said, well, I need for you to orchestrate for me. What if this happened, this happened, this happened. So there was a conflict there and I admitted I totally messed up. I thought it was funny. I thought the bar mitzvah card would be funny. It wasn't. And so, yes, I needed some coaching. And so we got through it. I think ignoring it, you just can't ignore it. You got to talk about it.
Well, and the expectation that dealing with conflict and resolving conflict is going to make all parties feel good isn't realistic either. You know, you deal with conflict, it doesn't mean that everyone is coming out with a smile on their face. It just means, okay, you're trying to avoid this happening again, or you're coming to a happy medium, even though you both had to give in a little bit.
Or I need for you to know how I feel. Bob, I need for you to know how I feel. You could go the rest of your life without a Father's Day. I know that. You feel that, you know, it's been contrived by greeting card companies to get them to sell cards. It's meaningful to me. So whether it's meaningful to you or not, this thing is, we waited so long to have children and couldn't for 8 years. Mm-hmm. This is very meaningful to me. And so help me with this. Mm-hmm. And if you have to play into what's meaningful for me, because I cook food for you that I don't necessarily like to eat, but you like to eat it. So we just can't ignore it. We've got to talk about it. And I think there are other things we need to look at. And one is we can make unwise assumptions by something that's happened. Something that's happened and you make, you know what? He's never loved me. I can see that now. You know what? He always does this. You know what? I'm so tired of this. You know what? We're incompatible. You know what? This is just not working. You know, are all these, because if you don't deal with it, it builds and builds and builds and builds.
And then you start with those little comments, you know, with your kids. Well, your father, this well, you know, your mom. And then you, you know, you put your kids in the middle sometimes too. And they don't, they need to see healthy conflict, but.
Well, one of the saddest things is when children are in the middle of post-divorce.
Yeah.
And children are used and they hear comments post-divorce about the other parent. And children have to process that. Children didn't divorce their parents.
Right.
The adults, unfortunately, divorced.
Yeah.
And so when we handle them in ways like this and make assumptions and make statements, and you really let us into another one, when they're dealt with in unconstructive or unhealthy ways, conflicts are unhealthy when they're dealt with in unhealthy ways. And unfortunately, many of us grew up in homes where there's just the designated screamer. And, you know, you almost don't want to even, I don't want to even mention this because she backs me off by screaming or making all these, well, you always, and bring up all this stuff. When they're dealt with in unhealthy ways, we will never be a team. We will never be a team. You know, the picture is a man leaving his father and mother, cleaving to his wife, committing to his wife to become one flesh, and then they're both naked and not ashamed. That commitment means in that third leg of the marriage chair is I am committed to you. So we will work through every bubble in the road. Every pothole, we're going to work through this and we're going to talk through it and talk through it. I may not agree, but now I understand. And whether I agree or not, now I understand. Now I have the responsibility to decide. I understand that I hurt your feelings with what I said, how I handled what I did. Now I have to decide, am I going to, as a man, love you as much as Christ loved the church and gave himself up? You as a woman, okay, I'm going to submit to the system here. This, it's not, for me, it's not important to go out to eat. Rosemary's a better cook than any restaurant. To her, it's incredibly important to go out to eat. She feels valuable and affirmed when we go out to eat. And so I can say, you know, it's ridiculous to go out to eat. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm complimenting you, saying you're such an incredible cook. And she's a gourmet cook. She's an unbelievable cook. But Bob, I'd like to go out and have somebody cook for me. But why? You're a better cook. You know, Bob, whether you understand this or not, this is important to me. And Bob, when we go out to eat and you always want to invite another couple, it makes me feel like I'm not enough. When we go out to eat in the past, when we were dating, we never invited another couple. But Rosemary, isn't it fun? No, not for me. I'm not saying never invite another couple, but I am saying, could we just have our time?
So then you on the other side, for example, in that situation where she says, you know, I'm uncomfortable. This is how I'm feeling. You, in your mind, you're thinking that's kind of ridiculous. How does that come to a happy medium? You have to just acknowledge the feelings of the other person and say, you know what? Your feelings are important enough because you're my spouse.
I can't legitimize or unlegitimize, if that's a word, your feelings. Your feelings are your feelings.
Right.
And so for me to say, that's absolutely ridiculous that you took it that way. No, it's not. This is my feelings. And so, Bob, you know, you have to understand that these are my feelings about this, or this is my opinion about our children and doing this particular thing here. We do need to talk through it, but don't attack my feelings. They are my feelings. Whether you have feelings about this and I don't, or vice versa, they are my feelings. And we've got to get past that.
And the same thing goes with your children's feelings too.
Oh, yes. I mean,
you can hurt your kids' feelings by little comments, even a face you make sometimes. So how you deal with your marriage sometimes spills into how you're going to treat your kids.
Huge. And when I don't handle or listen or be slow to speak and slow to get angry and quick to listen when we're having these discussions, then it creates a tension in the home and it creates an atmosphere in the home and it creates a fear in the home that mom and dad aren't getting along. And so we're never going to be better, and we're going to try to counterbalance each other, especially in the home and a typical where one's a disciplinarian and one is a relationship person, not really a disciplinarian. So we don't agree on handling something. If we don't deal with that conflict and start to agree and come to a middle, then we start exaggerating where the disciplinarian gets it's more of a disciplinarian. And the relationship person says, you know, I'll take care of this later on with your dad. And we miss completely becoming this team, and we're inconsistent and everybody loses, but it creates great tension in our relationship, but it creates great tension in the marriage. There are many unhealthy ways to deal with conflict, but one of the most important ways to deal with conflict is to be quick to listen, then slow to speak and slow to get angry.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we hope you'll join us for more tomorrow on dealing with conflicts in your marriage and how that affects your parenting. If you want resources on parenting and marriage, they're found online at shfm.org. That's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. Again, shfm.org. To hear this program again, share it or listen to it with your spouse, or link to it, or sign up for the daily email blog, you can find that all online at parentingtoday.org.